Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Psalms 93 verse 3.
The floods have lifted up.
The Bible says the floods have lifted up.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
The floods have lifted up.
Please, I want
voice.
You to listen to me closely this morning. The floods have lifted up, oh Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice.
The floods lift up their waves.
The floods lift up their waves. The flood have lifted up their voice. The flood lifts up their waves. Yes, what I say next verse 4?
The Lord on high is mightier
he
than
said,
the noise
the
of
Lord
many waters.
On high is mightier. You see, it calls the voice of the flood, it calls it a noise. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves. They are roaring loudly. He says, but our Lord on high is mightier than what?
The noise of many waters.
Than the noise of many waters. What does it say next?
Yea, than the mighty waves of the sea.
Than the mighty waves of the sea. What does NLT say?
The floods have risen up, O Lord.
Yes.
The floods have roared like thunder.
So there's a flood that roars like thunder over our country. There's a flood, a storm. Bring it down, David. The wrath against us, the wrath against God's people, wrath against the nation. What does it say next? NLT.
The floods have roared like thunder. The floods have lifted their pounding waves.
Their pounding waves, verse 4.
But mightier than the violent raging of the seas.
Mightier than the violent raging of the seas.
Mightier than the breakers on the shore.
Who knows the song? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Our God is greater. Awesome. Our God is greater. What's Timmy?
Our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God.
One more. Take it one more time.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God.
Then the verse that says, one more time.
Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us? Any for God is with us. Then who could ever stop us?
you guys, just stay around. Just sit, but stay alert. The Bible says our God is mightier. And as some of us, if you take out the issues that were going on in our country, let me come back. Let me zoom into your family. God is stronger than any family curse. God is stronger than any family limitation. God is stronger. And you may have seen this in your family from one generation to the other. But God is far stronger than any family infirmity, any family sickness. God is stronger. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know the song says, it's for me, it's not against me. God is stronger than any demonic influence. God is stronger. God is stronger than any joblessness. God is stronger than any infirmity. God is stronger. And today, God is stronger even on the affairs of our country. In the name of Jesus, God is stronger. God is stronger. Father, I'm praying with tongues 1 minute. God is stronger. Bring it down, team. Bring it down. Don't increase it. God is stronger. 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 Mightier. He's bigger. He's greater. He's stronger. Stronger than political parties. Stronger than political philosophies. Stronger than permutations and calculations. And stronger than manipulations of the enemy. He's stronger. God is stronger. And he that has begun a good work is able to wait and finish and perfect it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. You know, I started talking about winning the world, and I intend to get a bit closer to you this morning. Please follow me closely. We're graced in the house today. We have again our friend and our brother, Minister Ebuka, in the house. Let's bless God. Thank you, sir, for coming. You always like surprising me. I don't know why. God bless you. And you came. What's your name, man? Doris. Let's celebrate, Sister Doris. Good to have you in the house again. Please follow me closely this morning. You know, the house is a bit smaller. People have gone to vote. So follow me closely. What I'm going to share with you today, if you listen to it, I promise you, if you follow it, it has the power to revolutionize your life. So please follow me closely. This might not align with your theology, so let me warn you in advance that I might say some things that maybe you don't agree with. But if you have a superior argument in scriptures, I'll follow you. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm going to show you scriptures. I'm going to show you scriptures. We started talking about winning the world. I talked about, you know, evangelizing, telling people about Jesus. And I said last Sunday that an average believer does not understand the criticality of winning. If I ask an average believer, when last did you tell somebody about Jesus? You'd be shocked how that people have not shared the gospel for years. People who are born again, people who are saved, living with unbelievers, working with unbelievers in their office, you know, having businesses with unbelievers, and seeing no reason to share the gospel with an unbeliever. There are people who are living with unbelievers as, you know, hostel or roommates, and they know that their roommate is going to hell, but they don't see any need. Basically, probably because they think that the person may make fun of them. You see, that's always about the argument, that the person may make fun of you or may laugh at you. And you don't want them to think that you are SU. Or you don't want them to think that you are not woke. And I don't know anything woker than following Jesus. I don't know anything more beautiful than following the maker of the heavens and the earth. And I said very clearly last Sunday that if I ask or I go around asking questions, I'll be shocked that there are people in this place who haven't shared the gospel with anyone for years. Sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel, is every believer's business. Soul winning is every Christian's business. It's not exclusive to the pastor. When I was not a pastor, I became a pastor 4 years ago. When I was not a pastor, I shared the gospel on the streets. I shared the gospel in those days in Lagos. share the gospel. We call it morning cry. In those days, we would share whether anyone was listening or not. I shared the gospel in my class. I shared the gospel. You know, I wasn't very confident to start talking in the bus when we entered a bus, but I was, you know, careful to share the gospel with the person sitting beside me. Sometimes I would stroll out with the intent to share the gospel. I would drive out with the intent to share the gospel. I would look around for someone who I could share. I had time allotted for soul winning. I will never forget one day I had driven from my house. You know, I was going to CAC, Community Affairs Commission. I had forgotten that it was a public holiday. It was June 12th. And I had forgotten that it was a public holiday. That day always amuses me, one time I remember. And I drove all the way from Dutse, where I was living then, down to Maitama. And when I got to the gates of CAC, they said to me, that are you not a Nigerian? Don't know that today is a public holiday. So I said, God, that means I drove, used fuel from my house. I said, this fuel must be tied to somebody's soul. Somebody must give their life to Christ. I can't come here in vain. And I began to look around. I look around, and of course, that was kind of profiling, but I saw one guy with a lady sitting on his lap. That's profiling. You shouldn't have known, but it's okay. But I suspected this guy must be a sinner. So I moved close to him, and the girl, I said, hey, bro, I'd like to talk to you. It was uncomfortable. The girl was uncomfortable. I said, no, don't go. Both of you. You know, and I insisted that they gave their life to Christ. Insisted. The Bible says, compelled them to come. He may die the next moment. And he was going to go to hell if he wasn't born again. I don't take it for granted. If I mistakenly go to a place I wasn't ready, I must tell people. In those days when I started with my car, I had a problem and I entered boat. It used to pain me that I entered boat. I couldn't afford boats. So every time I entered boat, somebody must give their life to Christ. The boatman must give his life to Christ. It's compulsory. Because where will I scout this 1003? I must be able to tie, you know, because I didn't enter along. Along is far cheaper. So if I now have to enter boat 1003 for a place that would have taken me maybe 150, somebody must give their life to Christ. So I've preached. There was a day I brought the guy, the boat guy. It was so powerful. He had to take a longer route just to ensure that we didn't end our conversation quickly. By the time he got to church, he followed me. I was coming to church. I was coming to say to him, he followed me into the church. I ensured that they gave their life to Christ. I'm very, very sensitive about the urgency of soul winning. I'd entered the car before. As I entered the car, the guy was smoking cigarette. As I entered the car, as I sat down, he started shivering. He started shivering. I said, what's the problem? He said, I don't tell them I don't go smoke him again. Oh, I don't say I don't go smoke him again. Oh, I don't know. I said, what's up? He said, as you enter, I don't know what's happening. I said, me, I know what's happening. Park, 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 park. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I cannot save myself. Save me, Lord. And I led him to Christ. I knew what happened. I entered that place with a presence. That's what happened. And the presence began to convict him of what he was doing wrong. Soul winning is critical. Today, I'll be sharing on what I started last Sunday on how to infiltrate the system. Please follow me. You are not going to be a powerless Christian in Jesus' name. In Matthew chapter 5, we read last Sunday, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says, you are the light. Is that what it says?
Yes, sir.
Help me again, Dumont.
You are the light of the world.
You are the light of the world. Verse 13.
Verse 14. Okay. From 13, you are the salt of the earth.
You are the salt of the earth. So, the Bible says that we are the salt of the what?
Earth.
We are not the salt of the church. The assignment of the church is to the world. As we are seated here, your assignment is not to this place. If the only place you are useful is in the church, then you are a useless kingdom ambassador. If the only place you are useful is in the church, and so if we take you out of the church and we put you elsewhere, you'll be useless. That means you are already useless. If the only place you can make sense, if the only things you know are the things that church things, you are not useful or applicable or valuable anywhere else, then that's the problem. Because the Bible says that you are not the salt of the church, you are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Do you know that salt does not make sweet? Do you know that salt is not sugar? The Bible says that we are salt. It didn't say we are sugar. He said we should season our tongue with salt. What salt does, please follow me, is that salt gives taste. Salt is not sweet. That's why if you take a spoon of salt and put it in your mouth, you will know that salt is not what? Sweet. And that is why if we are too much in a place, we become appalling. It's like putting a tablespoon of salt in your mouth. Salt finds its beauty in what it is mixed with. So when I take you here and I mix you in entertainment, if I take you here and I mix you in government, if I take you here and I mix you in media, it is in seasoning media that you find your beauty. Our problem is not our number. Our problem has always been our quality. You don't need a pot of salt for a pot of soup. So we don't need to be as much as they are before we can change them. Are you following me? A tablespoon of salt can season an entire soup. Salt is not afraid of losing its color. Salt is always white. But salt is not afraid just to be able to camouflage in the soup. It is in tasting the soup that you know that salt is in the soup. You don't see salt. And so as a Christian, you must learn how to be invincible even though you are useful. You don't have to come out, "I'm salt, look at me," and scare away every other person. Salt finds beauty in losing its color. So if God takes you now, Bobby, and drops you into government, he doesn't want you going to government. "Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Everywhere, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." So that when they want to do midnight meetings, they won't call you. You have to be in those midnight meetings. When they are calling meetings, covenant meetings in the midnight, they should invite you, not knowing that you are salt. Are you following me? You know, I'm praying that you guys are following me.
Yes, sir.
I am praying that I hope you are following me. So that when the enemies are gathering to make policies, they don't exempt you. That you have disguised enough to be included in their meetings without knowing that you are salt. The Bible says you are the salt of the earth. You are not the salt of the church. Salt heals, even though it may be painful. You know, everything that we find when we're young, iodine solutions, spirit solutions. How many of you used to play football alone when you're young? You had a lot of injuries. So your mother had the first aid box. My dad used to have a first aid box at home with cutting boards, cutting wood. Uzol. You know Uzol? You know Uzol? The iodine and spirit. You see, spirit and iodine are salt solutions. They are painful, but they heal. That's why if you have an injury in your leg and you put your leg in the beach, the salt in the beach, you start feeling the pain. But the pain is to heal you. That is why we are not sugar-coated believers. We are salt-coated. Our job is not to make people happy. Our job is to make them happen. Our job is not to make people sweet. That's not our job. Salt of the earth, he calls you. Salt of the earth. Then he says you are the light of the world. And I said last week, he said you should be as wise as serpents. Follow me. But if you don't understand the intricacies of this thing, if you don't even see yourself as a kingdom citizen, then this will not even make any meaning to you. If all you live your life for is how to buy yourself a new cloth, buy yourself a new shoe, how to get yourself a new wristwatch, how to compete your friend who is brandishing something on Instagram, if that's all your life is about, then you cannot even understand the criticality of what I'm sharing with you this morning. You must be a kingdom citizen with a kingdom mindedness, with a sense for an assignment, to be able to understand what I'm going to share with you this morning. It says, "I'm sending you forth as snakes." It says, "Be as wise." I said, the first thing a snake has is a subtlety. It never comes direct. You see the way a snake moves, You can never see a snake moving like this. Have you ever seen a snake moving like this? You see a snake moving, you are never sure when it strike. Never comes direct. And so if you're a child of God on assignment in that your office, never go direct. Never go direct. They're going to exempt you. Listen to me. The real meetings that change or affect our nations happen when people are sleeping. I just pray you, if please, maybe you will not need it now. This thing I might be sharing with you might be over your head right now. You might feel, but please write it down. Put it where you won't forget. The real meetings that change our nation, that change our society, are not held in broad daylight. They will exempt you if you come direct. Are you following me? Do you know that throughout the life of Daniel, he never preached in Babylon? Daniel never preached. When they told him, come and eat out of this food, he didn't say, never. And in fact, all of you who are eating out of this food, you are all destined for hell. Told them and says, please, can you exempt me and my friends from eating for personal reasons? And the Bible said, at the end of the 10 days, they found that they were fresher. They were smarter. They exempted them. They didn't resign from Babylonian system. All of you that used to resign from places, say, hey, that place is here. I'm getting out. How are you going to change a place you avoid? How are you going to clean a stuff you avoid? You cannot solve a problem you avoid. So if Daniel had resigned his appointment, the moment he came in, into the palace and say, hey, you are going to be doing it. And he saw champagne and he saw what do you call the stuff? You guys help me. Shisha. He saw, what else did he see there? He saw, there's this thing that used to shout Dorime. Azul. He just saw everywhere spilled with wine and pork and meat. And he said, hey, God forbid, I resign. If Daniel had done that, if Daniel resigned the very first day he came into the palace and he saw iniquity at his finest level, Daniel says, no! Blessed is he that shall not walk in the seat of sinners, that shall not stand in the scoff. If Daniel had done that, Daniel would be able to effect and impact Babylon like he did. Will he be there when they were calling meetings to destroy Israel? Will he be there? If Esther, who had entered through a beauty pageant, who didn't enter the palace through a crusade? Are you following me? Whose entry into the palace was through a beauty pageant? If Esther didn't go into the palace praying in tongues at the top of her voice, if she refused to be a beauty model, would she have overheard when they said they were going to destroy all the Jews? Would she be there? Would that mean that the entire destiny of Israel could have been truncated because somebody's religious bias? I am praying that you listen to me this morning. Go as serpents, he said. Never go direct. Number two, study your prey. Study who you are sent to. Not everything works with everybody. I preach the gospel all the time, and I know well enough that not everything works with everybody. A professional fisherman knows that there are some fishes that like this kind of bait, some fishes that like that kind of bait. It's your duty. But if you are not on assignment, you understand, it's your duty to know this is your friend that's unsaved. What's the best model to minister the gospel to him. What can work best? You see, I work with a lot of intellectual people. There are people that I work with that are extremely cerebral. Extremely cerebral. If I want to throw a video to them or a sermon, I don't throw a video of people falling under the anointing to them. It doesn't make sense to them. In fact, they can even get appalled by it. So I sent a sermon of me solving by teaching a problem they may be going through. I am selective with my evangelism. It's my job to study my prayer. I said something. You know, the Bible says when Jesus was giving his instruction, he said in the Great Commission, Mark chapter 16, he said, go. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? Church, I need some feedback this morning. Can you help me? Okay. He said, go. Is that what he said? Where did he tell us to go? Into the world. So he told us where to go. He told us what to do. What did he ask us to do? He said, preach the gospel. So go. That's the instruction. Where? Into the world. Do what? Preach the gospel. To who? To all creatures. So he told us what to do, where to go, and who to do it to. But he didn't tell us how to preach it. He didn't give us a model or a method. Don't lose your message because of your addiction to a method. Don't lose the influence and the power that your message can carry because of your sentimental attachment to a method. And so I have different ways of teaching the gospel. My prayer determines my bait. And there are people who are looking for healing. Looking for healing. If you are preaching someone's abroad, for instance, I have people calling me from all over the world. I don't pray or ask them to pray that there's a witch on their transformer. Are you following my point? You see, some of the things that we pray about in this country, their government has answered that prayer. Good roads, they have it. They don't cover their roads with the blood of Jesus. It is appalling that you take the blood, the precious blood of the Savior of the world, shed the Son of God on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world, and you turn it to quota. You cover your roads with it because of the responsibility of a government. They don't cover their roads with the blood of Jesus. They don't pray that there will be light. When they are going home from work, they say, ah, God, let there be light. God says, since when? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Let there be light. I'm done with that. You guys are the ones that know you're still in darkness. Ask your government. This light issue, we have dealt it. That was the first thing we decided to work on. So if I'm dealing with somebody who's outside the country, I don't bring issues that shows the limitation and the mediocrity of my government as a message to them. It doesn't make sense. Study your prayer. The last one is that you must learn how to camouflage. And that's where I will talk about this morning. Infiltrating the systems. How to camouflage in the world of darkness. God did not destroy darkness. The Bible says he called darkness night. He gave it a name. Till Jesus comes, there will be darkness in this world. The Bible says separated the light from the dark. The light did not totally obliterate or destroy darkness. Isaiah 60 verse 1, it says, arise. What? And it says, for your light has come, arise and shine. Follow me. For your light has come, arise, it says. Shine, it says. For your light has come. That means your light has come, but you will not shine if you don't arise. So you need to arise. There's a procedure. You arise. First you take responsibility and then you shine. He said, for darkness shall. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? What did he say? Give it to me. Darkness shall. Media. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Darkness shall. There's a promissory note. It is God's promise. Eh? Valentine. It is God's promise that darkness will cover this earth. There is no prayer you can pray to remove darkness from this earth. Darkness shall cover this earth. And gross darkness, gross corruption
shall cover the people. Did you know that? Is that what it says? So there is no prophecy against it. Instead, it's the fulfillment of prophecy. He said, but on you, God will do what? Put his light. And his glory will be seen on thee. Give me the next verse. What does it say next? Help me. And then what will happen? Then the Gentiles will come. What do they come to? They come. They don't come to you. The Gentiles don't come to you. They come to your light. Gentiles are not looking for you. What the Gentiles have problem with is darkness. So your fine clothes is not their problem. They are sinners who have finer clothes than you have. Your fine face is not the issue. Sinners who have finer face. What the sinners don't have is light. And that is why to attract them, you must shine. Stop trying to compete with them in a place they have more proficiency. You see, I am not going to live where I am. Compete in a place where they are better. There's definitely something that I have and can offer that they don't have. May the Lord give you intelligence and wisdom this morning. It says, and the Gentiles shall come to the brightness of the horizon. So we have its salt and we have light. And I said there are seven. Help me. It's on the screen. Seven. Seven spheres of influence. Why is it? It's on the screen. Why is it for me? Okay. I'm going to do it one by one because of my time. Please follow me closely. Somebody say, neighbor, are you listening to pastor? What did your neighbor say? Help me now, media. What's up? Right. We have seven spheres. Some people call it mountains. There are seven areas of human existence that God wants you to shine as light and season as salt. Seven. Now, why you are not expected to do morning cry on this seven? God expects you to go there with the wisdom of a servant. God expects you to go there with the wisdom of a servant. So I'm going to start with religion on the right here. There's the first sphere of influence. Write down religion. Number one. Religion. That's the first sphere. The sphere is what determines the spiritual posture or conviction of a generation. This religion, what I'm doing here, in the sense of being a sphere, is religion, Christianity. Not that Christianity is a religion. Are you getting my point? I'm just giving an example because we are using it from the point of view of explaining as a mountain. God expects me. So some of us are called to this. Like I'm called to be a minister of the gospel. I'm supposed to ensure that I sustain a generation for God. It is my job to teach the gospel. It's my job to preach and ensure that people's hearts are steered, that faith are built, and they are ready to receive what God wants for them in the rest of the spheres of influence. So here is where God comes, the religion. When God was going to come to the earth, he went straight to Zechariah. He didn't go to any other person. Zechariah was the priest for that year. And Jesus was coming. But before Jesus would come, was John the Baptist must come. So God came to Zechariah and said, Zechariah, you shall have a child, blah, 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 blah. And Zechariah was a priest. And Zechariah had the power to make or mar that plan. And so when he started to express doubt, the angel made him dumb. You see, the reason why the angel made him dumb, follow me, is because his mouth is potent. He has the capacity to frustrate God's plan with his mouth. And that's exactly what a lot of us are doing with our lives. We should be dumb. It's better to say nothing than to say evil. When you are not sure of what to say, keep quiet. And so Zechariah says, oh, how shall this thing be? Someone will say, is that not the same thing that Mary said? Of course, Mary said that, but Mary was not the priest. Zechariah was. So in the mountain of religion, God establishes an influence over a generation. I'm sent to a generation. I'm sent to this generation. I have a message in my mouth for this generation. God has anointed me, has called me, he ordained me to officiate in this capacity. right now. It might change my office tomorrow. But I'm upsetting right here. Right. There was a time before I started pastoring. I was doing ministry before I started pastoring. God called me to ministry. Are you following my point? Now, so there are five offices. You have pastors. You have what again? Apostles, you have what? Evangelists, you have what? Teachers, then you have what? Prophets. So some people are going about with all the razzmatazz around apostle now. Apostle this, apostle that. And they are not apostling anything. Because people just think that they have bishop. Bishop is common. Pastor, nice to come. Reverend, which one is like apostle? Because if you go and say prophet now, they say you're a fake prophet. You're a fake prophet. But you have not been hearing fake apostle, but no, fake prophet. It's a fake prophet. So it's okay, no, apostle. So we have a lot, and I'm wondering, what was the craze about apostle in our generation these days? Everybody's an apostle. I mean, all my friends, apostle that, apostle this, apostle. Wow, that's amazing. I'm going to ask you now, what is the work of an apostle? What's the work of an apostle? Apostolic. Let me not get distracted. Let me face my job. You see, so I was once not an apostle, not a pastor. I became a pastor in 2019. All I did before was that I taught. I was a teacher. I taught faith. I taught four things, only four things. I taught healing, I taught faith, I taught Holy Spirit, and I taught prayer. Only four things. And you want to know teachers, that you see teachers, they pick on the topic. You see a teacher stays on one thing. Rugbile will stay on discipleship. Will stay. If you tell him, I come and teach on this, he will teach on discipleship. He will stay, he can stay on it for years. That's a teacher stays on something. A pastor must be like a general practitioner, like a doctor. And that's why I preach on this, I preach on that. We have different focuses for each month, because I cannot just say because I'm this, I must focus. There are people with different kind of issues. Some people want to learn about finance, want to learn about this, want to learn about marriage, you know, and I must be concerned about their general body health or spiritual health. And so we have to make sure that we make the year robust to cover and encapsulate everything that's about human well-being. Are you following my point? But a teacher doesn't have to have that point. A teacher can stay on one thing. An evangelist goes to say what? Receive Jesus. He's on his way, so winning. Give me an example of an evangelist. Popular one. Reinhard Bonnke. That's all. Billy Graham. That's all. That's an evangelist. Now, there are people who mix two together. They are pastors and they're evangelists. There's one in our city, Pastor Paul Enenche. Strong pastoral anointing. Strong evangelistic anointing. There are people like that. You get my point? So, now, there's a mountain of religion. You must understand your place in that mountain, if you are called there. Because even in that mountain, there are peaks and there are sites. God has not called you to do everything. In my mountain, I must have a message. I must have an office. I must know what God has called me to do in that mountain. Number two is family. Why did you take it out? Family is the second mountain. And I beg to say today that in my own opinion, family is the strongest. The family mountain is the strongest mountain for many reasons, among which is the fact that it's the first expression of God's love, God's wisdom. Family. So when God was going to pour himself out, he made man in his image and divided man. Man and woman. Separated man and woman. And the union of man and woman is marriage. And God did that. God did that in the garden. God did that in the garden. So people have talked about polygamy. And that there are people who were polygamous in scriptures. Abraham had children from more than one woman. And Jacob was polygamous. And David was polygamous. Who else was polygamous? Solomon. That's polygamous pro max. And he had just about four kids. He has to tell us what family planning. I mean, that's amazing. That's wisdom, innovation. That guy was very wise. How can you have four kids from 1,000 women? A moment. But God did not bring two women to Adam. He brought only one. So in the beginning, if you want to know how things ought to be, you look at how it was done in the beginning. it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. So in the beginning, it was man and woman. Till Jesus come, nobody can judge man and man in SLC. Even if I were dead, I would rise. Telling you. In the beginning was man and woman. The family is the basic, the strongest unit of human existence. And that is why it's from the family that God intends that children will be given back to godly seeds. I wish I had time to share this. I'm very passionate. I'm not called to the family. I'm not sent to the family. I know where I'm sent to, but I'm passionate because I see the impact of dysfunctional homes in the lives of many people around me. I see how people's lives can be destroyed. I see how children are hungry at their parents. I see how children are hungry at their society just because of the family they came out from. It has been proven that most of the happiest people in the world came out from amazing families. They may not even have so much money, but if they came out from families where they were loved, where they were understood, they have a tendency to be very happy, you know, and they have a tendency to be very loving and forgiving. If someone that is always not forgiving, always wicked, 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 you see, those people may have come from places where they were either verbally abused or physically abused. You can always trace anybody's dysfunction to where he was brought from. And so people have been raped, some people have been abused, some children have been abused, they have been, you know, their parents told them all the time that they could amount to nothing. And so they lived it all. Some of you are here today, you are still battling with things that your parents told you when you were a baby, when you were a child. And every day you think you are hardworking. What you are trying to do is to prove your father wrong. All your life. All you are trying to do is to show that man that you can be something. It's an invisible fight in your head. Because some of you are here because of fear of disappointing your parents. Your parents have told you, you can never make it. You are a failure. So you have something running in your head. Every time you are battling, you think you are hardworking. You think you are hustling. All your hustling is just to show this man that you can be something in this world. God intends that family will be the place, the birthplace of godly kids. That children will first learn about God from their parents, not from their pastors. You see, church is plan B. Church came when family failed. Church was God's plan B to salvage the destruction of the family. It was never God's intention that people will be sitting down in the church like this and be preaching to them. If Adam and Eve never missed it, they wouldn't be church. We won't be having church. This church that we're having now is because of the failure of families. And so pastors have to carry on the responsibilities that parents. A lot of people can tell their pastors things they can't tell their parents. I know what my ears have had in this life. Sometimes I need therapy. I'm telling you. I know what I've had in my life. I've had people who are in love with their parents. Somebody's love is dad. And he's even angry that his mom, her mom is still married to her dad. I said I've entered bus with wrong generation. So every time he's looking at his dad, say, this woman doesn't deserve this man. Follow me. Genesis 18 verse 17 to 19, God said he trusted Abraham because Abraham was going to command his kids to follow God. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 11. Help me do more. Deuteronomy 11 verse 18 to 19. Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 19. What does it say? Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 19. My time is far gone. Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 19. What does it say?
Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart,
yes,
and in your soul,
yes,
and bind them for a sign upon your hand,
yes,
that they may be as frontlets between your eyes,
yes,
and ye shall teach them your
it
children.
Says you will teach them to your children these words, yes, continue,
speaking of them when thou sittest
when
in thine house,
when you are sitting in the house, you call your children, you tell them, yes,
and when thou walkest by the
and
way,
and when you are walking, you teach them, yes, continue,
when thou liest down,
even in bed, as you lay with your children, you will teach them, as you sit down, as you walk, as you lie down, yes, continue. What is the next?
And when thou risest up,
when you wake up first thing in the morning, you teach your children. So you see that God's plan was that parents will be their children's first pastors. that every lesson a child learns, he will learn first. Why am I teaching you this? Talking about winning the world. Muslims don't evangelize. Why are Muslims multiplying? You know why they're multiplying? Number one, they give birth without limitation. They give birth without restriction. They give birth like you can see a Muslim have like 10, 15 kids. You understand what I'm saying? They now make sure that all those children are properly indoctrinated. You can see an average Muslim child able to recite the entire Al-Quran. They do Wolimo. They have Wolimo where they do graduation from Islamic school. They are very deliberate about ensuring that their children understand Islam. And that is why when they grow up, they don't depart. The Bible says, train your child in the way he should go. And when he grows up, he doesn't depart. I'm not in any way undermining the power of the gospel or the power of the church. You see, our problem is never our number. We are plenty but little, much but few. We have no impact on the society because we are not properly indoctrinating our kids. As some of you are here in this church, your parents did not ever teach you anything about the Bible. Or if they did, they never modeled what they were teaching. And that hypocrisy is more poisonous than teaching wrong things. If I teach you wrong things, it's better than to be an hypocrite. Train are very, very poor listeners, but strong imitators. The reason why a lot of people leave church and abandoning church, a lot of young people, is because they saw the hypocrisy in church. They saw people who they knew were sinners forming in church. We saw people who raised their nose at others who they knew. When I was Baptist church in my church when I was young, the elders in the church used to come and drink beer in my mother's beer parlor, my stepmom's beer parlor, and the leaders in church. I left the church. I mean, you see wickedness in IS order. I mean, someone that is a pastor. Well, if you are here, I want to say that you're here because you saw that there was people that you knew one on one. That even though before church, one on one, this one. If I see him for heaven, I go beat the angel. We open the door. Because you know them. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. So that was not God's design. That children will be brought forth. So you see, if I'm going to win the world, I must make a decision now that I'm going to give back to godly seeds. Start first from your house. Start first from the person you married. Are you following my point? You can never get a godly marriage from a worldly relationship. You can never get a godly marriage from a worldly relationship. Fornication is adultery in training. You cannot tell someone who is sleeping with you while you are unmarried to honor God's word on marriage after you married. You have no right to insist on something you have enjoyed. No. You are either agreed together to honor God. So if you choose a husband, you must understand that you are choosing the father of your children. Choosing a spouse is choosing the parent for a child. This is the person that's going to be the father of your children forever. This person you have chosen that followed you only because of Bombo. This is the person now that's going to be the father of your children. If your child mistakenly has a big bomb, he may even follow her. You have to understand what I'm talking about. Oh, you have not heard about parents who sleep with their daughters? Are you hearing for the first time? It starts with your choice. Now, before you go married, who are you choosing to marry? Who is going to be your covenant partner all through your life? Hey, Jesus. This woman you are choosing now is going to be the mother. And you have to know that your daughters are going to resemble your wife. You are going to give birth to what you marry. Write it down. You are going to give birth to what you marry. And so if you don't like what you already see, and you don't have an intention to reproduce it, then don't marry it. If you know that this kind of thing is not the kind of thing I want to come out of my body, then don't even marry him. And someone you have to chase all around because he's chasing everything he's scared. But you think that he loves you. It's just that those ones are there, but it's just you. You're going to give back to a son who's going to be exactly like his father. And sons take after their fathers. And that's why we have sons who are bullies, who are rapists. So what is this society? You see children, see their fathers beat their mothers. See their fathers spoke actually to their mothers. Raise their voice to their mothers. And so just students imbibe this kind of character and they think that that's how to live. They see women as objects. It started from their father. They saw it in their father's life. The best thing you can do to your children is to love their mom. Listen to me, man. The greatest gift you can give to your children, forget the bicycle, forget the clothes. The greatest thing you can give to your children is to exemplify love for their mom. They will never forget. They will never forget. Look at children who came from families where their dad showed excessive love. Woman rapper kind of love to their mom. They are different men. Some people here have never seen their father kiss their mother in this place. Never snuggle up to their parents. Never. They think it's weak. They think it is weak as a man that you snuggle up to a woman. They think it's a weak thing. Follow me. I'm dealing with something very critical. Some of you are doing strong man now because you saw your dad and you thought what it means to be a man is to be able to scream at the top of your voice and order everyone around. The family is the strongest unit, and that's why the enemy fights the family strongly. Every thief came from a family. Every terrorist was born. Every armed robber came from a home. Every politician that is a fraudulent politician was raised in a family. Everyone. There is no human being here that was not born in a family. And the people that we call bad leaders were all born in a particular family. And so if the family was right, it would produce godly seeds. We have less issues in our politics. People who are acting porn today were born in a family. The enemy attacks the family. All the old movement around LGBTQ is an attack on the family. All the old sexual liberty thing, I can be whoever I want to be. If your child is born, you don't know whether it's a male or a female, allow you to grow up. Let it decide if it's a male or a female. All those movements and all those movements are all attacks, are direct attacks on the family. Listen to me carefully. You must make up your mind that when God looks down from heaven, he will see your family as a place that will be a training ground for the next and the end time generals in his hands. You must make up your mind that if nobody gives God a child, like Anna, you say, Lord, you gave me this boy and I'm giving him back to you. Family strong. Family strong. The third one is education. After family is education. Please write this down. Education is where our children begin to learn the next thing. After home, the next place is school. And that's why you cannot undermine the school where your child goes. And that's why you yourself as a Christian, and as I'm talking to you, if you already have a passion towards something, you feel a draw towards something. Oh, my time is up. You feel a draw. I'm on number 3, Abby, and I have number 7 to go. Please, can I take like 10 more minutes? Okay. How many of you are in a hurry to go and vote? How many of you didn't vote yesterday? If you have to go and vote now. You have to go and vote, Abby. Okay, release you. Who else has to go and vote? I'll try. I'll rush up. If I don't finish, I'll just speed it up to the next. All right. This is important. Very important. The school, the quality of education of your kid, follow me. You cannot undermine it. You see, the school is where some parents lost their children. Some of us got introduced to porn from secondary school. You know, when I got introduced to porn, there was a guy that used to bring those magazines in GS3. And we'll be open and be looking at it. under his team. And so all of us will be peeping. And so we have magazines like, I can't remember their names now. I know there were some that were Ints and Hearts, and there were Tickles, and you guys just pretend as if you don't know what I'm talking about, you know. So, and all those stuff. And so the guy will bring it, follow me. The guy will bring in the magazine, and while the teacher is teaching, we are peeping under. Now, so you have to understand that this guy came from a dysfunctional home. This guy came from a home where he was not properly trained, or his two parents were lackadaisical. You understand? And now he has allowed that problem to spill into the school. Now, we were playing boards and were not properly trained on how to identify evil and say no to evil, became hooked in someone else's error from their family. And so you see kids who don't have a problem before came in to school, and some people started lesbianism from the hostel, girls hostel in school. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you, the issues you are dealing with right now started in your secondary school. There are four kinds of parenting. Four kinds of parenting. Write down. Number one is the authoritarian parent. Authoritarian parent is high on rules and low on relationship. And most of our African parents are like that. You can't sit on dad's laps. Are you mad? High on rules and low on relationship. Authoritarian parents. All he comes is to dish out rules. Dish out rules. Dish out regulations. Nothing. He never talks with you, takes you out, nothing. The second kind of parent is the uninvolved kind of parent, or the indulgent. Put this down. The indulgent parent. The indulgent parent is low on rules but high on relationship. Low on rules but high on relationship. Is that kind of parent that anything the child wants? Oh, you want a bicycle? Just take it. Oh, yeah, Oh, that's it. Oh, you can have it. And some of you are already planning out to be an indulgent parent because of the suffering that you suffered in your own family. You made up mind that there's nothing your children want that you are not going to give to them. So because you allow a defect in your own upbringing become an extreme in your own parenting. And so your child will cry on his spam wall. Yeah! Throw tantrums. And because you don't want anybody to think that you're an irresponsible parent, okay, say, Junior, you want it, just take it, that's okay. I saw a child climb on a store in ShopRite and was breaking TVs. I saw a child like that. And the parents said, oh, stop that. Oh, stop. That boy is going to end up in prison. No, I'm telling you the truth. That's what indulgent parents do. Their children become irresponsible spouses. They become burdens on the person they marry. And they become useless to the community. They end up in prison. So you have authoritarian parent, you have indulgent parent who is low on rules but very high on relationship, and then you have uninvolved parents who is low on rules and low on relationship. Anything you want to be, Daniel Da. Anything you want to be. I've already lived my own life. And there are parents who don't care. All they do is just to pay their children's school fees. I hope, is this blessing you this morning? You know, I'm just rolling through this. Then you have the authoritative parent is high on rules and high on relationships. And that's the kind of authority or kind of parenting God wants you to be. All right? So I'm talking about schools now and how that schools can affect. And so some of us, like I said, we got involved in stuff because of the people who we met in school. But if your child has been trained, then the enemy cannot win it over in the school. I'm talking about winning the world. If your child has been trained, then two, if you have a calling to education, right now, there's a burning in your heart about the policies in our educational sector. You know that this is something. Somebody's telling that you're going to have a school in the future. You must understand that God will put funds in your hands to be able to build schools that will perpetrate the values of the kingdom. Am I preaching too high for your brain this morning? These are sectors that God wants you to shine your light. And so there are schools, for example, look at Covenant University. Covenant University is not the best school, or let me not say the best school. Covenant University is not a perfect school. There are people who are smoking crack. Do you agree with me? There are people who are smoking crack in Covenant University. There are people who are terrible in Covenant. I'm not saying that they're perfect, and there's no perfect system anywhere. But do you know that there are Muslims that send their children to come university? They know that when they get there, they will compel them to go to chapel. They know they will force them to pray in Jesus' name. They know that they will not give them room to pray any Islamic prayer. They know that this my son, Islamuddin, that I'm sending to come to university. This my son may come back and become Isaac. They know, and yet they are ready to risk that for the quality of education that the child has. And that's what happens when Christians begin to build schools. That's what happens when you take on a vision to infiltrate a sector for God. Anybody would come there. Schools are important. Education is critical. Very critical. I'll rush because of my time. I'll end up on government. Let me end on government. I'll talk about finance and business next week. Business, that'll be next week. So let's talk about government right now. And it's good I'm talking about government now because our country is just in that sector right now. And the people in this place today, I will never pastor a non-influential church in the name of Jesus. No. As I'm preaching now, there are people in this place who just think that this message is not for them because of a terrible, mediocre mindset. As I'm talking about building schools, I say, everyone but me. Go to everyone but me. Government, is it kind of me they're looking for there? You are suffering from perpetual negativity in your brain. That your brain is so small, your mind is so closed in, that you're not even willing to embrace a promise from God's word. It's terrible. If I can't get God's word into your mind, I can't get it into your life. As I'm preaching now, everything I'm talking about, there's nothing that resonates with you. All you are looking for is just, I'm going to help you to deal with this spiritual husband. If that's all that's on your mind, there's a problem. There's a problem if all that you think about is just your needs. There's a problem. And I don't want to pastor a church like that. I don't want to pastor a church of people who are non-influential. People are having no value outside church. I don't want to pastor a church of people who are only church, making no sense outside church. I don't want to pastor a church like that. I want to pastor a church of people who are both influential out there, making value, adding value out there, and right in church, adding value. That's the kind of church I want to pastor. You want to be a member like that? Then I can be your pastor. I agree to be your pastor. If all you are looking for is spiritual husband and all that kind of things, I'm sorry. Our country got to a tipping point. My friend was in politics. He said to me, he said, there are times they couldn't even find a Christian to lead opening prayer in ward meetings. No government, nothing. We have been badly taught. We have been badly taught. And I said last Sunday, everything Christians leave, what happens? Satan takes over. Look at judgment. Look at law. Look at law, for instance. Who are people behind our policies? You know these people in election, a lot of them are very, very unintelligent. Do you know what I'm talking about? You engage an average House of Rep member. Ask him of climate change. Call an average House of Rep member now. And ask him, what is the implication of the Russian-Ukrainian war? You just say, all those ones are... And as unintelligent as they are the ones making your policies. We say they are stupid, they are foolish. How did they get there? How? And there are Christians here. As I'm talking to you, every limiting mindset I break in the name of Jesus. That limiting mindset is the real demon, not spirit husband. That's the real demon. That thing telling you that this thing cannot be you. They are talking to other people. It's not you. You are too dull for this. That mindset is the real demon I'm dealing with this morning. How did they get there? How do we get people who we cannot even trust? You cannot entrust your business in their hands. How did they get to be governing a whole nation? How did we have someone who was found on a sex toy shop here in Barnex be in charge of a constituency? Now, am I bothered about his sexual preferences? Absolutely none of my business. But to find a politician, a youth leader in a sex shop, obviously drunk, fighting and slapping the shop owner here in Barnex, and then afterwards he gets an award from a community of young people in a country that has Christians. How did that happen? How did they get there? That guy is dunce. I've had him speak, I've had him interview him, I've seen the kind of foolishness he pours out. How did he get there? How did he get there? How did they get to the point where all they do is to share money? And we sit back like this, fold our hands. Do you know that one policy, only one government policy can disrupt a God's agenda over a territory. If suddenly, listen to me, I'm saying this as clearly as I can say it. If somebody stands in that place now and says that this women facility, they don't want any religious activity there again, SLC has to leave this place. That's what I'm saying. Anybody that is a stupid person that is sleeping with a 15-year-old girl and giving strippers money that has absolutely no sense can just stand up in National Assembly now and make a policy that affects your constituency. You know you're smarter. You know you're smarter than him. You know that one-on-one debates, you floor this guy. But he's there. How did he get there? How? What were we looking at? That those guys full up that place like demons. To even break it now is a problem. Look at the kind of work we had to work yesterday night. Just because we are saying enough, it's enough. Ah, we two are here. The kind of work all night that I was in the polling booth at 6 a.m. this morning. Why? They had the effort because we have slept. You know, I heard that a particular politician went to redeem camp and asked Pastor David, all these millions of people, where do you see them? He said, they came to worship. He said, did you give them money? He said, no, because they are not used to having that kind of crowd without some form of gratification. They must pay for crowd. They must use trailer to carry them like cow. So to now see people voluntarily come to a meeting in millions, you know what he said? He said, you guys have the numbers, but we'll use it for you. That's what he said. He said, you have the numbers, but we're going to use your numbers for you. Because you don't know how to use it. Because I cannot understand how you people have this kind of crowd and you're not in power. How can you have this kind of crowd in power? They are not as simple. Do you know that in this country, out of 36 governors, about 21 are Christians. 21 Christian governors. 29 Christian deputy governors. We are more than they. So what our problem is not number. Our problem is the quality. People are not discipled enough to have a kingdom mindedness. To know their own assignment. And you go there and effect change for the church. All we think about is our own. How to buy a new car. How to get a new house. How to marry a wife. How to da-da-da-da. And those guys, it is those, that's not kingdom. You can start the church and they'll just give a order to come and close down the church. They can say, go and demolish it. One person can just say that your church is making noise. And with an order, before you know it, what are those guys? They used to demolish places. Eh? What's their name, sir? Government control. You have your approver, you have everything on ground. They can say, no, that order from above. Who is more above than the Almighty God? But you know, if you have sat down here, and that's why you see, you have to understand the place of influence. Archbishop Benson Dawsa was different. Somebody came to meet him and said, he was talking about how his church is now very powerful. Is this, da, 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 da. Archbishop said he was laughing. He said, wait, let me show you power. He rang his phone. Hey, Sonny Abacha, how are you? Say, thank you, sir. Your voice, hallelujah, sir. Say, that's power. That's power. Their church faith tabernacle that beside the airport is built beside the airport. You can be seeing the church from the airport like this. Somebody said that it's over his dead body that they will build that church. That the church is blocking plane. The guy said, if the plane wants to fly, can't the plane turn to this side? And the guy said, they went, and he went there and removed all the old building materials. The bishop said, he went to meet him. Don't remove God's things. Oh. If you remove my things, okay. That thing is for God, though. The guy said, no, nobody can tell me anything. Abi said, you are going to leave this office. Oh. The guy said, never. Nobody can. And he went the next day to his superior. I said, I want this guy out of this office. I said, what did he do to you, sir? He said, he's stopping. I said, because I'm gone. Call the guy and say, you are transferred from this office immediately. The guy said, no, never. Nobody can transfer me. He said, you either lose this job or you are transferred. The guy said, ah, sorry, sir. Carry this bag. They built that faith miracle center. After like 10 years, Bishop said, they now called the guy. Do you want to come back to your former office? The guy said, yes, sir. I said, I forgive you. Yeah, and they called the friend. Yeah, please put him back. And they put him back. That's power. That's the kind of church I want to pastor. Are you following my point? That's the kind of church I want to pastor. You know, I can heal the sick, but I can't heal demon. Demons have to be dealt with. And you have demons and spiritual wickedness in high places. You have to be in a higher place to deal with them. If all I do is to just get you stuff, get you this, and I don't disciple you to be able to take territories for the kingdom, all of us will be here. We'll build big churches. We'll have plenty of members. Everybody will feel everywhere. But somebody can just get angry and say that our noise is too much. That they used to shout, surely, surely, surely. That doesn't want to even hear that surely again. That is subtle. It's kind of, anytime he hears surely, is agitated. It's surely phobic. So devil. My friend at his church, they brought their church. I'm telling you the truth. Can I tell you the truth, child of God? I want your heart to be steered. You are supposed to shine as lights. Right where you are. This is you that I'm looking at. Say, but Pastor, I'm so young. That's why I'm talking to you now. Because you are young. If you are too old, I won't talk to you again. Because you can't do anything. This is why I'm telling you all this is because you are young now and you can make impact now. Somebody said they are not going to give us Christian vice president, and they chose a political party, chose two Muslim. That's slight. They are telling us that there's no reasonable northern Christian. There's no reasonable one. All of them are useless. If you don't feel insulted, then you have a problem. So if you have government, you work in government, you have influence. But God has called into government. I know Bobby has told me that before. There are a few people I know that has told me about that before, about how God called them into government. I want to charge you this morning to begin. Begin now. We don't know what this political election will be. We don't know yet. But we must begin now. Go and get involved now. The delegates are picked from the ward meetings. Is that not so? And the delegates are the ones that in turn decide who the flag bearers are. Go now. Don't sit back, fold your hands and say it's not your business. Don't you want to have power? Are you okay like this, just like the way you are like that? I'm not okay like that. You know, every time I want to make a phone call, I'm very happy as a pastor. If I say, oh, no, don't worry, don't worry, we're going to sort the house. And I call, okay, get somebody, you guys, you know how it feels like a pastor? You know how I feel like a pastor? If I say somebody has a police, I say, no, don't worry, call Victor, you call Victor for me. And get us, I say, Pastor, I'm sorry, arranged, approved, sorted out. I say, yes. That's great. That's how I feel as a pastor. I can make those kind of controls. Say, okay, somebody needs something. Somebody said, somebody was lost together. And I said, no. The vice chancellor is my friend. Call the vice chancellor. And I said, sir, okay, pastor, no, that's all. Ah, yeah, so, yeah, return, please. Return. That's the kind of pastor I want. I say, yes. That's what it is. Because there are some things that prayer will not enter. I hope you are opening your ears. That people have to open the doors for you from inside. somebody has to open. There are people already inside. There are people in all kinds of offices. They shove their people there. Have you seen how they shove their people there? How they strategically. What are the Christians looking at? You know what Christians are looking at? They will go to BOI and go and be awarding contracts to themselves. And they never, Mr. Ibuka, they never put their people there. Christians go to those top places and all they are thinking about is how to enrich themselves. Let a Muslim enter one office, give him 3 years. Everybody on that land are all Muslims. Deliberately. Deliberately. Let a Muslim be the vice chancellor of a university. Christians say, no, I can never do that. Hey, Christians. Everybody must be qualified. If you're not qualified, and the Muslim is putting everybody, putting his brother, putting his sister. Some of them are very, they are buffoon. They are there. Go to NNPC. Go to CAC. Go to CBN. Go there and see from the floor, they start speaking their language. To break into those places takes a lot of work. And God gives you an opening. And you allow selfishness because you are not discipled properly. You have selfishness and God, you have that. All you think about is how to get your children out of the country. And so when you leave, you are forgotten. There's something to learn from Tinubu. There's something very powerful to learn from Tinubu. Tinubu, I don't know how I'm teaching this morning. This is not supposed to be a gospel. I'll say it. Tinubu is one of the strongest leaders, political leaders in this country. How did he become that strong? He raised men everywhere. Fashola, him. Ambode, him. Osibajo, him. Whether you are Christian, you are Muslim, you see him there. Why did he have the kind of loyalty he has? Why could he say, "Hello for Kombale"? Why was he talking that kind of arrogance? Because he knows what he had planted. He had planted his people, his boys, to the last Agbero in Ijaye. He will collect something, say, from Baba. He uses money well. And that's why those guys are ready to do anything for him, even though it's negative. The Bible says the children of this world are wiser than the children of the kingdom. How many people that went there? How many people do there is? And our people that are there, now, can they point to 5 people? If a Tinubu stands now, you can see him encircled around the governor of Ogun State. He said, that was a governor of a state. He said, Eleyi, the bed, you ban shower. See the kind of arrogance he was talking with. There are people that God has called into politics in this place. I will never pastor a small church. I will never pastor a weak church. I don't know why God allowed us to be talking to this small meeting. But I want to believe that this small meeting now, because of here, you have brain. And you do something with the thing I've taught you this morning. When you get home now, strategy begins. How am I going to infiltrate the educational sector with the kingdom agenda? How am I going to infiltrate this other sector with the kingdom agenda? What are the strategic connections and networkings I must begin? Holy Ghost, open my eyes, let me see. How am I going to enter into the legislature? You are a lawyer in this place. God has given you a great mind. How am I going to be able to get into the system enough to be able to promulgate policies and laws that would lead to the betterment of our nation and our people? How, Lord? And you are praying now, the Lord begins to flood your mind with inspirations. I'm not praying against spiritual husband. That's what you pray about. That's what you pray about. Come on, lift up your hands and say, Lord, I receive wisdom. Say again, say, Lord, I receive wisdom. Say to him, say, Lord, I receive wisdom. Turn to prayer. Father, I receive wisdom. Sheta bala brandeha. Kele boros kofaradash kededia. Kendo brakus ketele berede bahaya.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.